As I mentioned, our text is taken from Proverbs 28 and verse 9. Now think of something that is disgusting to you. What comes to mind? Well, for me, the thing that comes to mind is cat diarrhea. You see, when we were young, we lived in a street not too far from here, which has many shop houses and many cats. And every so often, if you're not careful, you will step on some cat feces. I learned very early that if that happens to you, that you'll be almost impossible to get rid of the smell from your shoes or your slippers. You are stuck with the smell for the rest of the day, and nobody wants to be near you. I still squirm inside me when I think of the times when I have to use a toothpick to try to remove that the feces from the ridges of my slippers, and how disgusting that smell of it was. Now, something else may disgust you, and you may even be tempted to talk about it tonight over dinner. But do you know what disgusts God? Well, our translation does not use the word disgusting, but that is the meaning of the word translated abominable in our version, as in our text and many other verses. It is a word that occurs 117 times in the Old Testament. About half of it describe what is abominable to God. Very few things disgust us, for the distance between us and what may be disgusting to us is actually not very great. Consider the fact that in terms of chemical composition, we are not very different from cat poo. But God is transcendently holy. Many things in fallen humanity are detestable to him. The customs and practices of the Canaanites, Leviticus 18. The idols of the heathen, Deuteronomy chapter 7. Offering blemished sacrifices to him, Deuteronomy 17. Cross-dressing between men and women, Deuteronomy 22. Homosexuality, 1 Kings 14. A froward and a devious person, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 32. Proud looks, lying tongues, hands that shed innocent blood, hearts that devise wicked imagination, feet that be swift in running to mischief, false witness, and they that sow discord among the brethren, Proverbs 6, 16 to 19. The sacrifice, the thought, the way of the wicked, Proverbs 15, 8 to 9 and 26. Unjust weights and measures, Proverbs 20, verse 10, etc., etc. Now, we can understand why most of these things are abominable to God. Indeed, we may even feel a sense of disgust when we encounter some of them. But this evening, the Lord helping us, we want to consider something which is disgusting to God, but is unlikely to evoke any sense of disgust in our hearts. Solomon says in our text in verse 9 in Proverbs 28, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Well, let us consider what Solomon is saying under three heads. First, what is it to turn away one's ear from hearing the law? Secondly, why is it so hateful to disregard the law that God hates even the prayer of one who does that? Thirdly, how should we respond to this knowledge? First then, what is turning one's ear from hearing the law? Well, our text is actually translated literally from the Hebrew. Now, we can't really turn our ears. Some of you may be able to, I'm not sure. But generally, only animals like cats and rabbits can do that. So for us, it must mean turning our ear must mean turning away or refusing to pay attention when the law is being read or preached. But surely this proverb is not only about the moment when the law is read or preached. Thus, it is no doubt referring to disregarding and disdaining the law. Now, this can manifest itself at various levels. There are those who know the law but refuse to obey it. In verse 4, these are said to forsake the law. Then there are those who do not know the law and are not interested to hear what he has to say. These prefer to be ignorant. Either way, they are turning their ears from hearing the law. But what does Solomon mean by the law? Well, he does not define it. But to the Israelites, the law will be all that is revealed in the Word of God, or it is the revealed will of God. The law, in other words, contains God's view for us in our life, in our attitude, in our behavior. The law is that which God wants his people to observe or to live by. Now, in Solomon's days, that will include both the moral laws, as well, which is summarized in the Ten Commandments, as well as the ceremonial laws and the judicial laws. Now, today, the ceremonial laws has been fulfilled in Christ, and the judicial law does not oblige any except for the equity thereof. Therefore, what remains for us is more or less the moral law, or what is summarized in the Ten Commandments. Thus, as we meditate on our text, it behooves each of us to ask several questions. First, do you know the law? Do you know the Ten Commandments? Now, I do not mean, do you know what are the Ten Commandments, but rather, are you able to recite the Ten Commandments with understanding? If you don't, then you'll be guilty of turning your ear from hearing the law. As long as you refuse to put in effort to find out, you will be guilty of turning your ear from hearing the law. Ten Commandments is so important that in many traditional churches, the Ten Commandments is read every service. And that is even in Methodist churches, they do still do that even today. If you do not know what the Ten Commandments is, you are guilty of turning your ear from the law of God, even if you claim to be a Christian. But secondly, if you know the law, do you keep them, or do you live as if they do not exist? More to the point, do you use the name of God as interjections, or worse, swear words in violation of the third commandment? You know what's an interjection? You know, sometimes you are surprised by something, and one of the very most mild ones, when people are surprised, they say, "Oh my God." Well, that is okay if you're actually praying. At that moment, you're so stunned and you're calling unto God. But the sad thing is that many, many, many Christians, perhaps you are included, some of us are very mature and yet we're doing that. There's a violation of the third commandment. Or do you do your shopping on the Lord's Day or refuse to assemble for worship on the Lord's Day? And so violate the fourth commandment. You know the fourth commandment. And yet, don't think about assembling together with the saints when the opportunity is there. Or to worship the Lord. And you can choose to do some other things. Do you yell at your parents rudely in violation of the fifth commandment? They may provoke you. But still, if so, if you yell at your parents, you're guilty of turning your ear from hearing the law. So that's the second thing. Do you live according to the law? If not, you're guilty of turning your ear from the law. But thirdly, the Ten Commandments are very broad. Our catechisms, the larger Westminster Larger Catechism and even a shorter catechism, teach us that each commandment carries prohibitions and requirements, some explicit, some not so explicit. These are all taught in the scriptures. The question is, are you aware of and actually pay attention to these explications? If not, you should realize that you are also guilty of turning your ear from hearing God's law. A simple reading of the scriptures will inform you, for example, that the sixth commandment is not only violated when you actually murder someone. The Lord Jesus informs us that if you berate someone and call him a fool, then you'll be guilty of breaking the sixth commandment. You know that. But if you do, why would you not want to know more carefully what each commandment requires of you or forbids you to do? Our fathers in the faith have done us a great service by explaining clearly what each commandment requires and forbid. If you're not interested to know what they have to say, then are you not turning your ear from hearing the law? Or would you charge them for legalism because they're trying to summarize for us what God has made clear through his word, what these commandments actually requires or forbid? Now, fourthly, if you know the explications of these commandments, such as given in our catechisms, or if you don't use the catechisms, the Heidelberg Catechism also has explications, or you've heard exposition about them, right? Ten commandments have been preached over this pulpit a number of times. If you have heard and you know some of these things, do you seek God's grace to observe them? Or do you simply brush them aside? Because majority of Christians don't care about them. More specifically, you will know from this exposition that is given from our catechisms that the second commandment is about idolatrous worship as much as it is about using images of Christ. If so, are you able to persist to worship with a clear conscience where the second commandment is violated? If you are, aren't you guilty of turning your ear from hearing the law? Likewise, you know that the fourth commandment is not merely about shopping or about doing unnecessary work on the Sabbath. If so, are you still able to play the game you're addicted to on your mobile phone or laptop on the Lord's Day? If you are, then aren't you turning your ear from hearing the law? Oh, you know that the third commandment is not just about taking God's name in vain, but being sacrilegious in worship, for example, because worship is part of God's revelation of himself, his name. If that is so, then if you are using your mobile phone to read your Bible, and then a message come in, will you tap on it and read? If so, are you not guilty of turning your ear from hearing God's law? Or think of the seventh commandment, our larger catechism. Question 138 teaches us that one of the duties required is modesty in apparel. Now, if you know that, then do you even stop to think whether how you dress, whether on the Lord's Day or on other days, is actually provocative rather than modest? If not, would you not actually be turning your ear from hearing the law? Now we have seen how we can be guilty of turning our ear from hearing the law. First, by not knowing even the Ten Commandments and not willing to find out. Secondly, by not paying attention to the Ten Commandments, though you know them. Thirdly, by refusing to see that the Ten Commandments carry both prohibitions and requirements, some of which are not so explicit. Fourthly, by being aware of the wider implications of the Ten Commandments by ignoring them. But now, finally, take note that it is possible to turn one's ear from hearing the law by selectively tuning out any areas which you are not willing to deal with. You know the implications of the law and are quite strict with yourself on various aspects of the law. But when it comes to certain hot spots, you simply shut your ears. So you're very strict about maintaining speed limit because you believe that this is what the fifth commandment teaches. But you have no qualms about indulging in internet pornography. So you're very strict about observing the second or fourth commandment, but you think you're just is justifiable for you to yell at your wife or your children despite the fifth and the sixth commandment. And you do not turn to the Lord in repentance when it happens. So you're a stickler for telling the truth based on the ninth commandment, but you refuse to sleep sufficiently each day so that not only is your physical health affected, but you do great damage to your spiritual health and to your family life in violation of every single commandment. Yes, sleep is important. The Lord Jesus says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And over the last 20 over years of ministering pastoral councils, I found that in maybe 9 out of 10 problems in families, that has to do at some level with sleep deprivation. So you know, it's the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. But you're very strict about everything else. But sleep, it's okay. It's all right to forgo it. Would you not then be turning your ear from hearing God's law? Oh, brethren, are you guilty? Listen, the inspired proverb says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. But why? Why is disregarding the law so hateful that even the prayer of one who does that is abominable to God? Well, note how the truth is presented to us. Solomon does not say disregard for the law is hateful to God. Now, we can infer that from the text. But Solomon says more than that. He says that even the prayer of one who does that is abominable to God. What is prayer? Well, prayer is an offering up of our desires to God. It is the most basic and yet the most profound religious exercise. The prayer of the upright is God's delight, says Solomon in Proverbs 15, verse 8. God loves to hear prayers. He, as it were, enjoys hearing prayers. But in our text, we are told that even the prayer of those who are disregarding the law is abominable to him. In other words, everything that one who turns his ear from hearing the law does is hateful to God. Even his prayer is abominable. It's like someone saying, I hate garlic. I hate it so much. I hate garlic so much that if it just have a little sliver, tiny sliver of garlic in my favorite dish, I will not touch it. I will hate even my favorite dish if there is a hint of garlic in it. Prayer is what God delights to receive from his children. But he hates disregard to his law so much that he detests even the prayer of one who disregards his law. Why? We can think of a few reasons. First of all, it is unreasonable. God speaks to us by his law. We speak to him by prayer. If we refuse to listen to him, then why should he listen to us? Secondly, it is hypocritical. When we pray to God, we're acknowledging that he has authority over us and over all things. If that is so, then wouldn't turning our ear from hearing his law be hypocritical? It is like saying to God that we have authority over him. Don't expect me to do what you tell me to do, but don't disappoint me by not fulfilling my desires. Thirdly, turning one's ear from hearing God's law exposes unbelief and hatred to God. The Lord Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. John makes it clear, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. 1 John 5:3. The Lord Jesus teaches us that there will be some who claim that they have done wonderful works in his name, whom he would disown at the last day. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. The prayer of one who disregards God's law is tainted with sin and therefore detestable to God. Now that would mean basically there are some who may say, I'm covered by the righteousness of Christ, I pray to receive Christ, I'm a Christian, but do not God's law, who will hear the Lord says that in that last day. All who are true believers, the word of God is saying, all who have true faith will not disregard God's law. And if you do disregard God's law, you will repent of it and turn to Him and seek help and cry unto Him. It's amazing, isn't it? How many Christians, as it were, want the pie and wants to eat it? We want God to hear and answer our prayers, but we do not want to hear or do His law. Solomon says in a parallel Proverbs, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. This is in Proverbs 15, verse 8. But you realize that our text is even more sweeping and penetrating. Someone confronted with Proverbs 15, verse 8 may say, I'm not wicked. I'm covered in the righteousness of Christ. Surely my prayers will be God's delight. But what our text is saying is that one who turns his ear from hearing God's law is really unbelieving and hypocritical. Or to put it in another way, a true believer will not disregard God's law. There is a difference between falling into sin under temptation and walking habitually into sin. One who turns his ear from God's law is walking habitually in sin due to disinterest and disregard of God's law. He is more concerned about his convenience and pleasure. He's not concerned about God's glory or God's authority over him or God's pleasure. He's either backslidden or he has not truly been converted. I'm not saying all true believers will not fall under sin. What I'm saying is that if this man or woman disregard God's law and continue to justify himself or herself of those actions, and do not repent, and he or she has never really known the Lord or is severely backslidden that season, he will try to justify himself and excuse himself in a plethora of ways why he's turning his ear from hearing God's law. He may justify himself by saying that he's obedient to all the laws that are clearly stated in the New Testament, but not those that are not so clearly stated. He may console himself by saying that no one is perfect, which is true. He may simply shut his ear and say, I know I'm saved because I believe the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is enough. But the fact remains, he that turneth his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer, shall be abomination to the Lord. The fact remains that the Apostle John has declared, 1 John 2:3-4, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that says, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, how should we respond to this knowledge? What shall I do with our text? Well, surely we must not turn our ears from hearing it. It's so easy for us to be blinded by hypocrisy, by self-righteousness and unbelief. John says in 1 John 1:6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. In verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Shutting our ears to what Solomon is saying under inspiration is like putting a veil over our eyes so that we do not see the approaching danger. And let none of us say, well, we live under grace, not under the law, and therefore it's okay. Because the moral law is universal and perpetual. But we hear that what Solomon is saying under inspiration, what shall we do? What if you can sincerely say that you believe what Solomon is saying and that you are sincerely seeking God's grace to walk according to God's commandment? Then ask yourself, first of all, are you doing it by your own strength or by the strength of another? If you're doing it by your own strength, then I'm afraid you are sorely mistaken. You have too high a view of yourself. The scripture is clear, isn't it? That apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, we all fall short of the glory of God. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God, who is of purer eyes than to behold evil. In other words, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, no one has ever listened and obeyed the law of God perfectly. If you are sure that you are listening and obeying the law of God perfectly enough by your own effort, then you are sorely mistaken. How do you know that you are thinking that you are doing it by your own effort? When you do not see your failures and you do not even ask the Lord for help any day, when you're just going by every day and as if you have never sinned and have no repentance in your life, then you know you're essentially thinking that you're walking by your own strengths, isn't it? But if you're acutely aware of your failures and that you're accepted of God because you're represented by Christ, and that because of that you're seeking to walk in obedience out of gratitude and love to Him, then blessed are you. Do not allow the devil to tempt you into thinking that your efforts are in vain. We know that it's not. God is not unrighteous to forget your obedience and labor of love. Persist on in following after Christ. Lay aside every weight and sin that so easily beset you. Seek first His kingdom and righteousness, and you can be sure that God will hear your prayers. He has promised to show you great and mighty things that you know not. He has promised to add unto you all things that you need in this present life. He has promised to bless you with answers to your prayers. But if you have reason to wonder if you are one who is turning your ear from God's law, then may I propose 7 points of action for you briefly. First, listen and acknowledge our text. Acknowledge that it is a fact that God hates the prayer of those who turn their ear from the law. Secondly, review what it means to turn your ear from hearing God's law and acknowledge how you have sinned against God. This is a question that we must ask personally and individually. Earlier on, we saw 5 ways in which we can turn our ears from the law: by not knowing the Ten Commandments, by not resolving to observe the Ten Commandments, by not being cognizant of the wider implications of each commandment, by brushing aside the wider application of each commandment, and fifthly, by picking and choosing what you wish to observe and what you wish to ignore. Now, if you're a young Christian, perhaps only the first lever is immediately applicable to you. But if you're an older Christian, perhaps the 5th lever is applicable to you. But whichever lever you may be in your Christian maturity, if you are turning your ear from God's law, then you must know that the Lord is justified when He does not hear your prayers. So do review whether you are turning your ear from God's law. But thirdly, repent of your sin. Prayerfully and honestly ask the Lord to forgive you your hypocrisy, hardness of heart, and unbelief. Ask Him to wash you in His blood. Plead with Him to change your attitude toward His word. But fourthly, prayerfully review God's commandments and read the excellent expositions of them in our catechisms or in some good books such as Thomas Watson's 10 Commandments. Fifthly, ask the Lord to grant you the help of the Holy Spirit to remember what God requires and forbids in His law. Ask Him to transform you by the renewing of your mind, that you may be more and more like Christ, your Savior. But sixthly, ask the Lord to open your eyes, to see how far short you fall of God's glory, so that you may be shut up to Christ with gratitude for all that he has done for you. But finally, ask the Lord to grant you a heart of gratitude and love toward him for all that Christ our Savior has done for you. Remember the Lord's parable of the two debtors. He who senses that he has been forgiven much will laugh much. Ask the Lord to show you just how guilty you are of turning your ear from his law, and ask him to forgive you and believe that he will hear your prayer, and let that assurance fill your heart with gratitude and love toward him. Solomon says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. I'm not sure how much you can remember of all that has been said, but I trust you remember what our text says and what that implies. Remember that hearing and keeping of God's law is not optional or simply preferable. If you refuse to consider God's commandment honestly or to keep them, then you are, in the estimation of the Word of God, acting in unbelief. You can have no assurance of salvation, nor can you have confidence that your prayers will be answered. If you profess to be a believer, then you are hypocritical. And you are complacent. Oh, how I dread to say these things. Whenever I have to say these things, it leaves me quite depressed. But this is the truth of God's word, isn't it? It's revealed to us. And so they need to be said, no matter how unpalatable they may be. This is why the Apostle John wrote a whole letter on the subject. But the good news is that these things are not designed to put anyone down. For I trust that in God's hand, all whom Christ laid his life down for will hear his voice. My sheep hear my voice, the Lord says. And so all will be saved as they are convicted of sin and awaken and shut up to Christ in humiliation. So despair not, dear brethren and children. If you find your confidence of salvation shaken, the thing to do now is to turn your eyes to Christ and ask him again, give me the strength to live that life of gratitude and love according to the power of the resurrection. And then you may have the assurance that the Apostle John gives us at the end of his letter, that if we ask anything according to God's will, that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, then we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Such is the Christian life that God wants us to have. Such is the Christian life that all believers should have. A life where we know that when we pray, the Lord is hearing, because we are hearing his word. And because of what the Lord Jesus has done for us in hearing God's word for us in the first place and sending forth his Spirit to us to work in our heart the same desire that he had of pleasing God. May the Lord help us. Amen.